I'd like to open God's Word, if I may, at Luke 14. And I'll go quickly because of the Guernsey thing. Should have marked my spot here. There we go. And I'm glad my family's on board for this. And they're all saved, by the way. Dylan's saved. Dayton's saved. I have no doubt in my mind they're going to heaven. They've asked the Lord to save them and forgive them. And I saw what happened in their lives, and we didn't force that issue with children. It's their time and the Lord's time. But I'm praying there'll be another day when they surrender their lives fully to the ministry as they get older and understand it, that they'll be preacher or missionaries or wherever God will use them, where they're needed. That's what I'm praying about. But anyway, okay, this evening we're going to be looking at Luke 14, starting at verse 16. And I'll go quickly this evening. I'll ask you to stand while I read in reverence to God's Word, Luke 14, 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we're so grateful, Lord, for Jesus Christ, Lord, our Lord and our Savior, Lord. But we need your help, Lord. We pray for a filling of your Spirit tonight, Lord. We pray your word would teach us, draw us closer to you, Lord, and show us, Lord, the need in the world, Lord. Show us where the lost are, that you'd have us to go today, Lord, and tomorrow, Lord, that we could take and proclaim thy word, Lord God. Use us wherever you can, Lord, and wherever a need is, Lord. God, we love you and we thank you for this place that preaches the gospel here and stands for the truth, Lord. I pray you bless and grow this place and keep it strong, and we thank you for what it's been all over these years, Lord. I love you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. This story here, when I first got it, I saw an angry master here. And I got to thinking about this. This is an angry master. So you're thinking, okay, you might think of the Old Testament with the Egyptians and Israel, and when they double and tripled the lot for the straw and the bricks. You may be those angry taskmasters, you know. But I got to reading this and studying it out because I heard a preacher say something in it one time, and I said, well, I don't know about that. But I had to go home and study it and say, what's he talking about? But then the Lord gave me this message. First of all, here, I want us to see, this is God Almighty made a great supper, the marriage supper of the Lamb, an invitation to sit around God's table. This supper is the gospel, an invitation for salvation. And this was for Israel, but they made excuses. All with one consent, they made excuses. And they rejected this invitation. So God sent his servant first to them that were bidden. If we remember, first he sent Moses and the prophets, and Moses died, and the Jews killed the prophets. Jesus said, your fathers have killed the prophets. And then this angry master goes on to send the servant back, send a servant. So I had to study that out and said, I got to see what that means there. So first of all, I want us to see tonight where, to whom, to what, to when, to why. And I'm going to go real quick now, so I'll try not. I was wondering this morning if I'd speak too fast for you guys, but after hearing Pastor Enos this morning, boy, he was flying through that. I'm glad he was using the right book and I could follow along. Yeah. But, okay, where did the master send the servant? Well, first of all, in verse 21, he sent him into the streets and the lanes of the city. Then to whom was he sent? Also in verse 21, to the poor and to the maimed and to the halt and the blind, the spiritually dead, not just Israel, but the Gentiles too, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. So he didn't send his servant just to the synagogues. He He sent him out into the streets now. Sent him out into the lanes and the streets to all people. So not just the synagogue. So what was he supposed to do, this servant? Well, first of all, he was supposed to go and he was to bring them in. At the end of verse 21, it says, bring in hither. The angry master said, bring in hither. So he was to go and bring in hither. So when was he to go? He was to go right now. Go out quickly, verse 21. And look, say not ye, there are 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, lift up thine eyes, look upon the fields. They are white, ready to harvest. See, I know Guernsey's white, ready to harvest. God wouldn't send me there if people weren't going to get saved. I figured if two got saved just over a week, then we'd have 108 in a year. I'd be happy with that to start. I mean, I'd be happy to see one mom saved. But that would be good for a little island, I think, because people say you can go to Scotland and you might not see one saved for your whole life. So why was he to go now? Well, first of all, God said that all may come, that my house may be filled in verse 23. So look, friends, we have to see this clearly as I studied this out, the Lord really showed me this. This is the Lord's table in verse 16 and 17. It says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. So it was at supper time, so the supper's ready. Go, because all things are now ready. This has been ready. It's been ready, friends. And we're running out of time. So now is the day of salvation. Don't put off salvation till tomorrow, 2 Corinthians 6:2 tells us. And verse 22 got my attention. And the servant came back to the Lord, and the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Father, it is finished, and yet there is room. That'll get you when you read that. And then verse 23, we see, and the Lord said unto the servant again, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Well, after the Lord sent Moses and the prophets, Moses died and the prophets, they killed the prophets. Then he sends Jesus Christ, the next servant. You can understand why the master's angry. I can't ever stop and think, has God been angry for eternity past? I can't ever fathom that thought, because Jesus would have to suffer and die. I can't think about that. That's mind-blowing. He was angry. He knew he'd have to send his only begotten son, and that they would kill him, spit on him, whip him, torture him like no man other. And we had something to do with that. Our sin was laid upon him. So the angry master. I hate to think, if that was me and I was an angry master, would I send another servant back for them? This is showing us how much God loves the world. For God so loved the world, Pastor said that this morning. That he gave. He gives, he gives, he gives. So he sends his son. And he dies on the cross for the world. Then he comes back and says, Father, it's finished. Then he sends the servant again, who is in the world. Who's in the world? Compelling, convicting, convincing, constraining. The Holy Spirit's in the world, and he's inside of us, our Savior. It's the Holy Spirit's job to draw them in and convict them of their sin. God's smarter than us, see? We killed Jesus and the prophets, and Moses died. But we can't kill the Holy Spirit. They can kill us, but we cannot kill the Holy Spirit. He's in the world till the job's done. God, in his anger, showed us 3 times how much he loved us. So who am I to get born again in America? Great country, I love it. Don't burn a flag in front of me, because I don't know if I could hold myself back. And where did that go? Some things just pop out. So who am I to get born again and see my drunken life changed into a preaching life take the gospel, which is an honor and a privilege and a blessing. It's needful, it's necessary, it's urgent, and the Lord lays it on my soul that I better get out there and tell them how to be saved. Who am I to take God's Holy Spirit on the inside here and take it to the house and hide it? How can you do that? You can't do that. If there's a change in your life, you'll have some spring in your boots. For the first week I got saved, he asked my wife, I don't think my feet touched the ground. I was hovering around town. I was like, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? I went back to this, okay, let's just say it was a Lutheran church. Can we say that in here? I was in a Lutheran church, don't know why. Now I do now. And I got saved. When I got saved, it was 3 o'clock in my bedroom after a meeting I had there, and they give you all the wrong information. But I got back and I was buzzing. I said, okay, what do we do? What do we do? I got saved. They said, good for you. They said, well, just come Sunday, come to church. I said, yeah, but what, you know, I was like, but what do we do? Just come Sunday and just keep coming to church, be faithful. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking, there's got to be something else to this. I mean, I couldn't hold it in, you know. You can't hide it. There's going to be a change in your life. It has to be a change. All that easy believism, I've seen that, and I heard it on the TV and the radio, that's rubbish. That if the Lord comes inside, there's a change. Okay, I'm getting off. But so first of all, we see God's invitation. Then we see God's warning. And I didn't read this, shame on me. Verse 24 says, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. That's a scary statement right there. I praise God and thank God he came by my way more than one time and I ran out of excuses. My 92-year-old mother, she was out of excuses. She's out of time. Thank God that he came by again. This invitation is going to be withdrawn very soon, and there'll be no more. Them that were bidden will not taste of the Lord's supper, the Lamb's supper of the Lamb, the marriage supper. But they all with one consent began to make excuse. I mean, this was delivered by an ambassador of the highest authority. This is God's Son, Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, in John 1:11. But thank God, in love, he sent Jesus to go out into the highways and the hedges, to the main, the whole, that's us. We were sin-sick, friends. Whew. To the Gentiles. This is a short story, it's a short parable, but it tells me the time is now. Lord lays it on my heart every time I go out. I say, now, you better get that gospel out. Tell them how to get saved. Tell them there's a heaven and a hell. There's only one place you're going. For all things are now ready. So we go out quickly. We compel them to come in that his house may be filled. And in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. This invitation is for all. It's for everybody, whosoever will. Not willing that any should perish. It's for your mother, your father, your aunts, your uncles, your sisters, your brother. The dirty work guy that stinks of alcohol with earrings and tattoos. It's for him as bad as it is was for me. As much as it is. It's for all. I'm glad my mother ran out of excuses. So how many excuses did we make? Good Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Jude 22 and 23, he's writing to Christians, we know. And he says, and some have compassion, making a difference. And if we don't have compassion, there won't be no difference. They won't see any difference in us. Compassion of Christ. He's speaking to Christians and he says, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Friends, it's heaven or it's hell. It's up or it's down. When Jesus Christ sends his comforter, there's going to be a change in there. So that confession will be a conversion. But there'll be no conversion without a change in your life. And when something as big as Jesus comes in, and God was angry, by the way, 3 times he sent a servant. He was angry. He sent a servant. He was angry. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. That's past tense. But it also says, he's angry with the wicked every day. But he loves them. They've got their opportunity. They have to make a choice. And it's our job. You're ambassadors. If you've been reconciled unto God by the blood of Jesus Christ, You're an ambassador, and it's your job in your Jerusalem. And it's my job. I've been in my Jerusalem wherever I've been in America the last 15 years spreading the gospel. It's my job to go now. But we all have that job, is to tell them how much God loves them, because this is this close to being over. It's this close to being done. Don't ever stop praying. Don't ever give up. But give them a gospel. And it's only by God's word. James 1:18, by his will begat he us with the word of truth. None of that fluff and tickly stuff they're giving in Guernsey now. Tickling their ears with that stuff. Don't be offensive. Give them the gospel. Give them God's word and they'll get saved. God, the Holy Spirit will draw them in. I appreciate it. I hope you all know you're saved today.